I want you to take your iPad, your iPhone, your Bible, whatever you have, and I want you to open it to Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. This is what the Bible says in Luke 1 and 30. It says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." I want to take a few moments, and I want to talk to you about a scary Christmas. A scary Christmas. John and Hazel had been married for 40 years, and their room was upstairs. And every night, John would get to sleep, and Hazel would poke him in the ribs. And she would say, John, I hear something downstairs. So John would put his house shoes on. He would go downstairs, and of course, there would be nothing. That went on for 40 years. And one night, Hazel said to John, John, I hear something downstairs. John puts on his house shoes. He goes down the stairs, and lo and behold, a man is standing in the living room. He's disconnecting the flat screen TV. And John says to that man, Sir, would you wait right here for just a moment? He said, Wait for just a moment. I know what you're going to do. You're going to call the police. He said, No, I'm not. He said, I'm going to go upstairs. I'm going to get my wife. I'm going to bring her down because she's been looking for you every night for 40 years. Now, she lived her life controlled by fear. I was on a treadmill, and there was a gentleman beside me on the treadmill, and I was asking him about, was he going to have a good Christmas? And he said, I hope so, Pastor. He said, let me tell you the story. He said, I've got a grandson. We're estranged. He said, we don't speak. I said, I hate that. He said, I'm sending him a gift. I'm sending him a card. I'm hoping he will respond. But I'm fearful he will not. And I thought about so many people are having a scary Christmas. They worry this year about meeting the expectations of everybody that's involved in Christmas. Some are worried this year and fearful about a medical report. Some not having enough money. Some fearful that perhaps this will be my last Christmas. Some fearful that how's Christmas going to look this year? There are going to be some empty seats at the table. How's it going to look? How are we going to get through it? Tons of people planning to have a scary Christmas. I think fear is something that affects all of our lives. I heard about a young policeman. I mean, he was just young. He was green behind the ears, and he had just been commissioned to duty. And they told him they wanted him to go down and work in a high-crime area. It was a high-crime area, a very unsafe area, a place where the police were literally even scared to go. So he goes down there, and he gets out of his car, and he sees a lady that's waiting for a bus. And this young policeman walks up to her and stands beside her. And the lady says to him, thank you for standing here with me, but you can leave. I'm not afraid. And the policeman said to her, would you mind waiting with me? Now, here's what's interesting. I started thinking about this issue of a scary Christmas. And I notice when we're dealing with the characters of Christmas, there is four times that God said to the characters of Christmas, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. So even at the very first Christmas, there must have been an element of it that was a scary Christmas. And I want us to look at those characters of Christmas, and I want us to see why they had fear. First of all, there was Mary, and it was a scary Christmas to Mary because Mary feared not being adequate. Mary feared not being adequate. Now think about this, folks. She's a teenager. She's somewhere between 15 and 16 years of age. She's not married. I mean, she's in a betrothal period, but she's not married to Joseph. Legally, he's not her husband. She's with child. She's not only going to give birth, but process this a little bit. She's going to give birth to the Son of God. I mean, she's commissioned with giving birth to the Son of God. And not only is she commissioned to giving birth to the Son of God, but she is supposed to raise and nurture the Son of God. I can understand why she felt so inadequate. I can understand why she felt, I'm not adequate enough. But what did God say to her? Mary, fear not, for you have found favor with God. You know, for people that feel inadequate, this Christmas, I'm not good enough. I'm the wrong color. I don't have enough money. I'm not the right size. I'm not educated enough. I'm not from the right family. I'm not adequate enough. You know what the Lord says to us? He says, fear not. Fear not, because you found favor with God. I love what George Patton said. George Patton said, courage is fear holding on a minute longer. If you give in to your fears, you're on the path to defeat. If instead you stand strong in spite of your fears, you're on the path to victory. And we must never forget that we are not in the battle alone. With the power of God on our side, we cannot be defeated. Mary feared not being adequate enough. But you know, Joseph apparently had some fear too. Joseph feared disappointment. Now, process this. It's Joseph and Mary. And Mary comes to Joseph and says, we're going to have a baby. And Joseph says, we're going to have a baby. Well, Mary, we've kept ourselves pure. Mary, I haven't done what I should have not have done. We've kept ourselves pure. Mary, who's the father? And she says, God's the father. And think about that, folks. Can you imagine you're dating a girl and she says, I've gotten with child, but God's the father. Now, here's what's amazing. Joseph had three options that he could do. Number one, he could have her stoned. He could have her stoned because adultery was a capital offense, and they brought you to the center of the city and they literally stoned you. This is all I'll say. Whew. Boy, there'd be a lot of rocks in America. There'd be a lot of rocks in America. He could have had her stoned, but you know, he could have put her away publicly. That would have been a court hearing in the presence of three rabbis. But the Bible says, according to Matthew 1 and 19, look what it says. And Joseph, being a just man, not willing to make a public example out of her, was minded to put her away privately. Privately. How could he put her away privately? It was a private situation. And he would put her away or divorce her in the presence of two witnesses. Folks, you know what I've learned about situations? Usually the best way to handle it is privately. 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 Not Facebook, but privately. Amen? Just privately. Now, you know, I know what Joseph thought. I'm a just man. And nobody's going to buy this story that God's the Father. And a little sin's like a little pregnant. It will eventually show up. And her belly's going to eventually get big. And what are people going to think of me? And who will I disappoint? I want to ask you something right quick, and I'm going to move on to the next question. Next point. Whose approval are you living for? Some of you are living your lives for dad's approval, or for mom's approval, or somebody's approval. You're trying to please somebody that really could care less about you. Could really care less about you. You're constantly trying to please people. And you can't do it. But you know what the Bible says to Joseph, who was so fearful of disappointing somebody? In Matthew 1 and 20, God said to Joseph, fear not. Fear not. Joseph feared disappointment. But there were some other people in the Christmas story. They were the shepherds. And the shepherds feared sudden change. The shepherds feared sudden change. If you look at Luke chapter 2, it says they were abiding in the field watching over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Think about this, folks. They were just shepherds. Their testimony was not even admissible in the court of law. People didn't want to be around them because they stunk. They couldn't even go into the temple. But the angel of the Lord appears to them. What a change. From abiding in the fields to an angelic host there appearing before them. You know why a lot of people are so afraid this year? Kind of like them shepherds. They're experiencing a sudden change. It's a new relationship. It's a new job. It's a new child. It's the loss of someone. What's God say to us? Fear not. It's stepping out. It's stepping out. Let me tell you something. Fear will keep you from stepping out and being everything that God wants you to be. You say, oh, but Brother Benny, when we can afford to have a baby, we're going to have a baby. You'll be childless. When we can afford to get married, we'll get married. No, 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 you'll die no maid. No, let me tell you something. This is what I have learned about life. Opportunities come at inopportune times. And fear can keep you from stepping out. There were two guys in a lunatic asylum, and one night they decided they didn't like living there anymore, and they decided we're going to escape. They decided to get on the roof and cross this narrow gap. They see the rooftops of the town stretching away in the moonlight, stretching away to freedom. Now, the first guy, he jumps right across with no problem. But his friend didn't dare make the leap. You see, he's afraid of falling. So then the first guy has an idea. He says, hey, I have my flashlight with me. I'll shine it across the gap between the buildings. You can walk along the beam and join me. But the second guy shakes his head and says, well, you think I'm crazy. When I get halfway across, you'll turn the light off. Herod had some fear. Herod feared losing control. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. See, this guy was so paranoid. He had his two sons killed. He had his mother killed. He had his wife killed because he was paranoid that they were trying to take over his throne. This is all I'll say. The more insecure a person is, the more controlling they will be. The more insecure a person is, the more controlling they will be. And Herod was very insecure. And because of his insecurities, he felt like he had to control everything. Let me tell you something. Your insecurities can cause you to be a control freak. You say, what's a good sign, Pastor Benny, that control might be an issue in my life if you're constantly worrying? A good sign that control might be an issue in your life if worry is an issue in your life. Number five, Zacharias feared being disappointed again. Zacharias feared being disappointed again. See, Zacharias was a man and his wife that had been praying for years. His wife was a lady by the name of Elizabeth. And they had been praying for years and years about a baby. But nothing happened. And then look what the Bible says. It says, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and shall call his name John. See, let me tell you something. Zacharias on Christmas, he feared being disappointed again. That's a lot of people this Christmas. I fear, Pastor, being hurt again. I fear being taken advantage of again. I fear being betrayed again. Maybe Mark Twain said it best. Mark Twain said, if a cat ever sits on a hot stove, it'll never sit on a hot stove again. But he said, you know, that cat won't sit on a cold stove. That cat just don't like stoves. Now, here's what I want to say. I wanted to get to this point. How do we turn a scary Christmas into a merry Christmas? Pastor Benny, I have some fear this year. I have some fear. But how can I turn this scary Christmas into a merry Christmas? There's four things, and they're there in the book. Number one, surrender your life to God every day. Surrender your life to God every day. You said, but Pastor, years ago I surrendered my life to the Lord. No. Surrender your life to the Lord every day. Look what Luke 1 and 38 says. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. What was she saying? Lord, I don't understand, but I just surrender my life to you. I don't understand, but I surrender my life to whatever you want. Because God, you're too loving to be unkind. You're too wise to be mistaken. And when I can't trace your hand, I can trust your heart. Victory's not in trying, folks. It's in trusting. And it's just saying, I'm going to surrender my life to you, God. I don't understand it. I don't understand it all. But you're sovereign. And I'm going to trust you. There's a second way to turn your scary Christmas into a merry Christmas. That is, stop listening to the voices of fear. Stop listening to the voices of fear. There was a pastor friend of mine one time told me. He said, Brother Benny, I envision my wife being in a terrible accident. I said, you do. He said, I envision my wife being in a terrible accident and she and the children being taken to the hospital. He said, what do you think about that? I said, this is all I can tell you. That's not coming from God. Because 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, God have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And I say to you today, stop listening to the voices of fear. Because, folks, get this. What you tell yourself is so powerful. A 23-year-old woman had this experience going to the grocery store. True story. She returned to her car, put her groceries in the back seat. Then, just as she sat down behind the wheel, she heard a loud noise and felt something hit the back of her head. She thought she'd been shot. She reached up and felt what she thought were her brains coming out. She was so shocked she passed out. Minutes later, she awoke, but she still was afraid to move. She sat there motionless, but for over an hour, holding the back of her head because she was afraid of losing more brain tissue. Finally, a gentleman walked up and called the police. The police officer showed up, asked her to open the car door. She said, "I can't. I've been shot. I'm holding my brains in." The police broke the window and discovered a pressurized can of Pillsbury biscuits had exploded. The dough had hit the back of her head. She felt it and thought it was her brains. You get this down, folks. What we tell ourselves is powerful. That's why the Bible says in Philippians 4 and 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." This is my advice. Get up in the morning and do a checkup from the neck up. And get rid of that stinking thinking, because it causes hardening of the attitudes. Proverbs 23 and 7 says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." If you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you'd like to win, but you think you can't, it's almost certain you won't. Because life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but sooner or later, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. You say, "Well, Pastor, what you're telling me is I need to just be a positive thinker." No. I'm not telling you. You need to just tell yourself something. Here's what I'm telling you. You need to tell yourself what the Word of God says. You need to quit listening to yourself, and you need to start talking to yourself. Quit listening to yourself and start talking to yourself. "Well, Pastor, what should I tell myself?" You should tell yourself Psalms 23 and 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me." You need to tell yourself 1 John 4 and 18. "There is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out all fear." You need to tell yourself Romans 8 and 31, "Why, if God be for me, who can be against me?" You need to tell yourself 1 John 4 and 4, "Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world." You need to tell yourself Romans 8 and 37, "We're more than conquerors through him that loved us." You need to tell yourself Matthew 19 and 26, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." I say to you, stop listening to the voices of fear. They're not from God. Oh, you need to tell yourself Romans 8 and 28, "God is working all things for my good." You need to tell yourself Jeremiah 29 and 11, "God's got a good plan for me, a plan to prosper me, a plan to give me a hope and a future." What somebody else says about you is not near as powerful as what you say about you. I say, stop listening to the voices of fear. Let me tell you, we brought in an expert. I was a kid preacher, high energy, low IQ. Get this down. I can't change some of you that are older, but I can some of you young people. Jesus said, "Cast that net out on the right side." The only thing that determined the size of the catch was the size of the net. The only thing that determined the size of the catch was the size of the net. You can decide, folks, what kind of net you're going to have. You're going to believe God for big things. You're going to be according to your faith be it unto you. Not according to your finances, not according to your family, not according to your failures, but according to your faith. Stop listening to the voices of fear. That's not from God. That voice that's saying you're dying of cancer, that's not from God. That's not from God, ladies and gentlemen. That's coming from the enemy. I don't know why I camp so long here, but I got to move. We got to have lunch at 1:30. Number three, sing and say praises to the Lord. Sing and say praises to the Lord. Get this. Praise is an antidote for panic. And worship is an antidote for worry. Mary's told at 15 or 16, now you think you don't have problems. She's 15 unmarried. You're going to give birth to the Son of God. How did she handle it? Read what the scripture says. She started singing. She started singing. She started singing. This week, if you really spend any time with me, I sing all the time. And Barbara said, amen. I'm walking out of a CVS this week in Washington, D.C. Walking out of the CVS. Cameron's with me. And I said, here we are back in olden days. Some lady walks up and she says, please, sir, don't stop. You've got a beautiful voice. Cameron said, oh my God, that's the worst thing he could have heard. It's the worst thing that man could have heard. But Mary heard this report, and look what the Bible says. And Mary said, my soul, it's Mary's Magnificat. She just starts singing, doeth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty have done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. I was singing this morning, and I told Barbara, I said, Barbara, you know what's amazing to me? These people that are into worshiping, if this person's leading worship, I can get into it. If this person's, I can't. Oh, gosh, honey, you're crippled too high for crutches. Worship is about you and him. It's about you and him, folks. It's about him. Oh, what about the guy? No, forget the guy over here. Forget the gal over here. It's about you and him. Are you okay? It's about you and him. So that's why I do what Psalms 91 and 2 says. I will say of the Lord, I will say. That's why in October I start playing great Christmas music. October I start playing it. Michael Bublé, John Barry, Amy Grant, Benny Tate. It's awesome. Let me give you the last point. Set your mind on the promises of God. Set your mind on the promises of God. Look what the Bible said. Look what Elizabeth said to Mary, and I'm done. You're blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Let me tell you something. You don't live your life based on explanations. You live your life based on the promises of God. I do love Christmas music. I've been singing it. The other night I was singing, "Oh, Little Town of Bethlehem." I wish you could have heard it. I'm signing books this year. I'm signing devotionals. I really feel convinced next year I'll be back at the table signing CDs. Yeah, there's been a great demand. No, I'm kidding. I've had a lot of requests, but I sing anyway. Get this. I was singing, "Oh, Little Town of Bethlehem," and I got to that one line. Get this, folks. "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." The hopes and fears of all our years. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Pastor, you struggle with some stuff. Oh, man, if you're struggling with it, I probably have. You say, "Well, I'm looking to you." No. Me and you's looking to him. No, you're not looking to me. Me and you's looking to him. I struggled with fear. I didn't even understand 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18 said this. It says, "Perfect love casts out fear." And I struggled because I said, "God, I must not love you perfectly because I've got fear in my heart. I must not love you perfectly. I want to love you, God, but I must not." But I didn't understand that scripture. When it says perfect love casts out fear, it's not talking about me loving God. He's talking about God loving me. And ladies and gentlemen, when I realize that God loves me perfectly, it does cast out that fear. And God loves you perfectly, and that fear can be cast out. You don't have to have a scary Christmas. You can have a merry Christmas. Because God said, "Fear not. I'm with you. And if I'm with you, there's not anything we can't handle. I'm with you. I'm with you this year. I'm with you forever."
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.